We are recording this on Election Day, but are keeping away from politics and bringing you other news stories from the last week. There is a setback for plans to rebuild Debenhams. The Duke of Edinburgh delights in the Royal Norfolk Show, and a 500-year-old church needs structural repairs to avoid dangerous collapse.
High-profile plans to demolish and rebuild a huge city centre building have hit another stumbling block. Developers hoping to redevelop the disused former Debenhams department store in Orford Place have faced criticism from a national organisation. Historic England has raised concerns with Norwich City Council about the proposal to demolish the 1950s building and build 405 student flats and several retail units. The group fear the height and scale of the student accommodation block plans could cause harm to the character of the Norwich City Centre conservation area and to the setting of a number of listed buildings, including Norwich Castle. The letter continues, "It would block a key long view of Norwich Cathedral's spire. We consider that the height should be reduced and the design improved to reduce the level of harm that would be caused to designated heritage assets. The plan would see the current building redeveloped to a height of 3 stories taller than the current stands." Historic England is against both the plans to demolish the site and the proposed new build, saying it would be overtly dominant. Planning firm Lampro, spearheading the Debenhams rebuild on behalf of Orford House Redevelopment Limited, has published a series of alternatives to the plans to demolish the site. The document outlines why retaining part of the building would be an unviable option, as the developer would make a loss of millions of pounds on the project. The first option, keeping the building and redeveloping the flats into what already exists, they estimate could bring a loss of about 10 million. A second option proposed the demolition of around 17% of the central part of the building, creating an internal courtyard, but this would see a projected loss of around 17 million. The third option suggests a partial demolition and the building of 2 further floors, which would cause a deficit of around 22 million. Option 4 would see the historic facade saved and the rest of the building demolished and rebuilt. But discussions with the City Council's conservation and design team showed that they would oppose these plans. Ultimately, the document concludes that the only feasible and financially viable option for the former Debenhams, which has stood empty for 3 years, is a full redevelopment. The developers have used a recent court judgment to support their case, in which fashion and food brand Marks & Spencer's was granted permission to demolish and rebuild its historic Art Deco building in Oxford Street in London, after it was deemed unfit for purpose. On the third anniversary of the closure of Debenhams earlier this year, people in Norwich were opposed to the plans, saying that it would be a shame to lose the historic architecture. Lampro states, "The building continues to remain vacant and is highly unlikely to be occupied in its current form. It is also visibly deteriorating. The site presents a unique opportunity to deliver sustainable development in a highly sustainable brownfield site in the city centre. The consequences of not granting planning permission in these circumstances are profound. The proposed development demonstrates a viable scheme that will continue to contribute to the commercial retail offering at the ground floor level and meets the functional need for to regenerate and transform this part of the city centre. In this regard, the loss of a non-designated heritage asset, which is not of sufficient interest to be listed, is acceptable when balanced against the extensive and comprehensive package of deliverable public benefits. If the proposals are approved by Norwich City Council, the developers hope to start work in 2025.
Scammers have been targeting pensioners with health conditions in Norfolk. People across the county have reported receiving calls from individuals claiming to be local medical practitioners or health workers. The caller said the person was entitled to a free medical alert device because they are over 70 and have health issues. They then asked for payment information to register the device. A spokesman from Norfolk County Council Trading Standards said, "As with any telephone call that you receive out of the blue, we urge you to be vigilant and take a moment to stop and think, especially if you receive a request over the phone or email to make a payment from someone claiming to be from a trusted organisation. If you are in any doubt, contact the company or organisation directly using an email or phone number from their official website."
The sun kept shining, and so did the Duke's smiles as the Royal Norfolk Show had a very special visitor on day two. The Duke of Edinburgh is no stranger to the summer spectacular, having served as its president back in 2012. Arriving by helicopter in the morning, Prince Edward made his way to the Norfolk Showground and warmly said his hellos to the dignitaries and show organisers. Royal Norfolk Show Chairman Robert Alston escorted the Duke to the pens where he was shown a dairy demonstration. From there, hundreds of people circled the livestock rings to catch a glimpse of the Duke as he presented trophies to handlers. The Duke then made his way through the avenue, stopping off at the Jubilee Food Court on Queen Elizabeth II Drive. While there, the Duke chatted with several people, including the 2024 Best Farming Champion, Mark Gorton, from Traditional Norfolk Poultry. The Royal Family are huge supporters of organic farming and free range, just like what we do, he said. His Royal Highness, he said, understands the challenges we in poultry farming have faced over the years. "I can't lie, it's been a rough few years with Brexit, inflation, labour shortages and avian influenza. You couldn't make up what we faced." The Duke then made his way to the President's Pavilion, where he presented service awards to local people, including a certificate of fellowship to Howard Zelly. Mr. Zelly's family jewellers in St. Giles have looked after the Royal Norfolk Show's trophies for the past three decades. Mr. Zelly's wife Sue said the recognition was a bittersweet occasion for her and her family. "It's our final visit before we, the younger generation, take over the business," she said. "For 30 years, we've done everything. We've thoroughly enjoyed it, and the 11 months of preparation that is part of it that makes this a wonderful event what it is." After lunch, the Duke joined in celebrating Norfolk's young diamonds at the Grand Ring. The Lord Lieutenant of Norfolk, Lady Dallant, commended the young carers, farmers and other diamonds, who she said were fabulous examples to others. The marching band played the national anthem before the Duke made his way back through the avenues, saying hello to passers-by.
A city cinema is undergoing a major revamp, which will include a UK first for the European operator. The Odeon at Norwich Riverside is being transformed into an Odeon Luxe, And, with 14 screens, it will be the largest of its kind in the country. All auditoriums will get a mix of standard and premium recliner seats, and the existing IMAX screen will be upgraded with improved sound and visuals. Norwich will also become the first site to showcase Odeon's new Lux Suite concept. This VIP screen will feature cocooned recliner plus seats for two and a pre-show deliver-to-seat food and drink service. The front row experience at Odeon will also be improved with VIP beds fitting up to three people in two of the auditoriums. Susie Welsh, Managing Director at UKI at Odeon Cinemas Group, said, "We are confident that this investment in the cinema will deliver an unrivalled big screen experience for our guests." The Norwich Cinema remains open, and throughout this summer, parts of the refurb will be completed, with the full Lux launch to follow later this year.
Vital structural repairs are needed at a city centre church to prevent it from collapsing and potentially causing harm to passers-by. St John Maddermarket Church in Pottercape requires important work to its south wall. It's acknowledged there is also a risk that pedestrians could be harmed should the work not be carried out on the Grade 1 listed building as soon as possible. A planning application was lodged with Norwich City Council stating that the work is necessary to ensure the structural stability of the wall. A previously large fallen tree has begun pushing the top of the wall over and has led to some structural integrity issues. A number of burial plots stacked up against the wall would also be disturbed for certain should the wall collapse. There is scaffolding propping up the wall, and the ongoing costs with the hire and regular checking of the structure are £100 per month. The scope of work is to carry out structural repairs to the wall by installing ground anchors halfway and three quarters up. St John Maddermarket dates back to the 14th century and is currently cared for by the church's conservation trust and its volunteers. Most of the church, however, comes from a major rebuilding between 1445 to 1510. A restoration of the church took place in the 19th century, including rebuilding of the tower in 1822, as well as refurbishing the interior of the roof and rebuilding the walls in 1863. The church survived a gas explosion in 1876, although much of the stained glass was damaged.